Blog Talk Radio.
Of SDG, Soledad Gloria. And the title of today's message is Christmas is Love. And we're going to focus on that classic verse out of the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16. And of course, the love chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You know, John wrote, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." Yes, he loved this world and he gave his only begotten son. What more precious gift could you give? You know, that reminds me of, folks, that classic story that you've probably all heard and seen the movie, The Gift of the Magi. It was written by a writer named O. Henry. The main characters were Jim and Della, a young couple that just got married, and they were struggling financially. And Jim's prized possession was his gold watch. And Della's prized possession was her beautiful long hair. But they didn't have money to get each other gifts. So what Jim did is he sold his watch to get Della a beautiful comb, a pearl comb for her hair. And Della had her hair cut, which was a thing at the time, you know, so women could wear those inserts. So she could buy a beautiful chain for Jim's watch. So then on Christmas Day, they gave each other their gifts. And they didn't have what the other knew they cherished so much. And that's a story of true love, you know? And true love has at the core of it sacrifice. And that's love's truest measure, you know? So this idea is so appropriate for Christmas when you think about John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know? Now, if you were looking for something special to give to somebody yesterday, I sure hope you gave them love. And this is agape love. And you know, when God gave his son Jesus, he was truly giving the gift of love. And this world, it's just falling apart. You know, I don't even have to get into all the craziness from the terrorism and the New World Order agenda to collapse the finances. You know, Lyndon LaRouche just came out with an emergency message right before Christmas that looks like things are going to get really ugly financially come the new year. And that could be the trigger event that causes Obama to implement martial law. We don't know. But the one thing we do know is that in the middle of this, what the world needs now is love. Just like that pop song says. Isn't that true? You know, Jesus warned us that in these last days, iniquity shall abound, and the love of many shall wax cold. So there's a precious gift from God, and it's desperately needed by all of us this Christmas season and all the time, and that's love. Now, like I mentioned, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is actually the chapter on love, and it comes between two very powerful chapters, 12 and 14, of course, that deal with a spirit-filled life. So what Paul's actually telling us here in the middle of all this teaching on living a spirit-filled life is that a spirit-filled life is centered and grounded in love. You know, chapter 12 deals with the natural gifts, and chapter 13 with love, and then chapter 14 with the power of those gifts. And if you don't have love as kind of like the central focus of it all, it's not going to work. So the point is that when you have love and you know how to use a spiritual gift with power, that's what it's all about. So this chapter wasn't put there between 12 and 14 accidentally. It's right in the middle of an incredible theological teaching on spiritual gifts. And that's what it's all about, love. So this chapter is crucial in understanding what Christmas is all about and love's all about, because it's the core of the Christ Mass, the Christmas message, the Christian message, the good news, the gospel. And there are three truths about love that I'd like to share with you today that come right out of this and should be the keynote and core of every Christmas celebration. First of all, let's look at the incredible value of love. Paul said, though I speak the tongues of men and angels and have not charity. Now, in the King James, this word charity is agape. So I'm just going to substitute love, because we think of charity as something a little differently today. We think about being kind to the poor, and that's one element of agape love. But our lexicon's being robbed, and that's a message for another day. So let's just say love, where the King James says charity. But this is literally speaking of Christ-like love, agape love. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not love, I'm become like a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. So Paul's saying that love is absolutely indispensable and there's no substitute for it. He's saying that you can speak eloquently and you could be up on podiums with thousands of people listening to you, or you could have these incredibly great radio shows or blog casts, you know. But if you don't have love, it's not going to mean much. And love is essential for people to understand and for this gospel to reach them. So there's some kind of supernatural thing that happens with love and the agency of the Holy Spirit and when people receive all of this. You know, we've all heard enough of those sounding brass sermons and those tinkling cymbal sermons. You know, those people that just talk, and it's like it sounds like that teacher talking on the Peanuts, you know, wah, 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 that type of stuff. Well, Paul's saying here that if I don't have love, I just sound like sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. So oratory, speaking, preaching, teaching, all of that stuff is no substitute for love. And then he goes on in verse 2 and he says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could move mountains and have not charity or love, I'm nothing. So he's saying that love is even greater than prophecy. Newsflash, folks, did you hear that? more important than prophecy. And what is prophecy in the New Testament? People have this all screwed up, folks. It's the testimony of Jesus. And what is Jesus? Jesus is the ultimate expression of God's love. Testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Look it up for yourself in Revelation chapter 19. And then in the beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he goes on to tell us that if you are going to prophesy, it should edify, exhort, and comfort your brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And if you're going around picking up things that people are calling prophecy on the internet today, and it's not edifying, it's not exhorting, and it's not comforting, then it ain't prophecy, folks. And if it's not testifying to Jesus, it's not prophecy. Prophecy has changed over the years. So if you have a gift of prophecy, that's what you should be doing. And we're all prophets if we go out and share our testimony. That's the point. But he's saying here that love is even greater than prophecy. Now, I've been teaching and preaching and doing this stuff long enough to know that if I were to put out a series on the end time prophecies right now, it would draw more listeners than this message will on love. But this message on love and Christmas is so crucial. Now, everybody's interested in the doom and gloom and prophecy. They just want to know what's going to happen. And I have this friend on the internet who just gone wacko over prophecy. And I can tell you that this is an imbalance. And understanding the meaning of the third toe on the clay statue and, you know, and some beast in Revelation and splitting theological hairs on seven equal parts of the trumpets that are going to sound in Revelation, and yet not knowing and understanding and truly understanding agape love when they think they do and they don't, is really sad because they're missing the whole point. Because our Lord says right here, all of this without love is one big splendid zero. Nada, nothing. So they have heaven on their mind, but hell's on their hearts in a sense when you think about it. Then Paul goes on to say that love's also greater than knowledge. So you can have a head full of knowledge, and what's it do? Paul said it puffs you up. John Wesley, who was an incredible man of God and the founder of what we call the Methodist denomination today, and boy, have they gone astray. He said that all knowledge without love is nothing but splendid ignorance. Think about it for a minute. Love is so indispensable. It's greater than great speaking, oratory. It's greater than prophecy. It's greater than knowledge. And according to verse 2 in 1 Corinthians 13, it's also greater than faith. We cannot know or please God without faith. And yet Paul says here that even if you have faith, the very faith of God that could move mountains, and you have not love, it's, again, a big fat zero. So he's saying that it's good to move mountains. But it's no good to move mountains if you're not removing first malice. And you can't do that without love. So you got to get rid of that bitterness, that bitter root in your heart. He's saying that love's greater than all of this and even greater than feeding the poor, or what we call charity today. In verse 3, he says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. So people are given money instead of love. Why? Because it's easy. It's painless. It's clean. You know, get out there and press the flesh, folks. Get out there and spend a Friday evening with a homeless person that hasn't taken a shower. Go out there and spend a Friday evening with somebody who is so lost that when you're done talking to them, it feels like you just drove out of a fog bank. It's easy to give money, folks. Get out there and share some love. That's what's tough. You know, sometimes parents give material things to their children as a substitute for love. And how's that working out in this current generation? People need our love more than they need our charity or our pity. That's what Paul's telling us, though. They need this actual agape love. And you can't do that sitting behind a telephone. You can't do that by writing a blog. You can't do that by sending out emails or doing a podcast. You can't. You got to get out there. And then he goes on to say it's even greater than martyrdom. Again, from verse 3, though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. Now, in false religions, and we're seeing this a lot with Mohammedanism right now, there's these martyrs, these people that are willing to die. We're seeing it on the news. We just had it in San Bernardino. They'll shoot up other people. They'll blow themselves up. Now, I do think that's a psyop, and that's a message that I don't even think I could really put together for SDG. But briefly, there were three paramilitary types, white guys, big guys that come out. It's in all the original reports, and yet the meme and what's out there now for the culture is that it was two Muslims, 20-something Muslims, husband and wife team. What happened to the third person? What happened to the early descriptors coming in on all the police scanners and the local news reports? Wow, something's really strange there, huh? But the point here is that these people are willing to die. You know, a suicide bomber is a really great threat. And you know why? Because it's virtually impossible to defend your life against somebody who's willing to let go of theirs so easily. Think about it. If a man's willing to kill himself, there's hardly any way you can defend yourself against that type of person. And that's crazy. And that's zealous, beyond zealous. That's fanatical. And these people don't love you because they don't love themselves. Now, I'm not saying that as Christians we shouldn't be willing to die for our faith. We should. But our Lord's looking for something more than people who will die for their faith. What he's looking for people who will live for their faith and show that faith by living that, loving. Is that making sense? So if you give your body to be burned but you don't have love, once again, it's a splendid zero, a big fat zero. So that's the value of love. It's more valuable than all those things we just covered. And then let's look at the virtue of love. Let's look at this love, because in this Christmas season, we need it more than any time else during the year. First of all, it's patient. From verse 4, love suffers long. Now, you may be saying, well, you know, I don't have much patience. I'm not a very patient man. There's all these people out now coming with these crazy conspiracy theories, and I just don't have time for it. Don't talk to me. Talk to my hand. Nah. Don't listen. Where's the long-suffering, folks? Where's all the respect and love that you should have for somebody that you've worked with for years? And just because you have an opinion on something and you think you know, Proverbs talks about people like that and why they call them foolish. Folks, we need to be long-suffering. We need to listen to these people. We need to hear them. We need to talk with them. We need to reason with them. And then just maybe we're going to realize we're the ones that were mistaken. Can you be honest with yourself right now? Can you do that and just say, I don't have much love? I say I do, but I don't. You know, if you're not patient with others, if you're not long-suffering with others, if you lack patience, if you lack that long-suffering, that's a lack of love. But not only is love patient, love is kind. Now, kindness is love in the little things. Another word for kindness is courtesy. Are you courteous with these people when they come to you with these crazy conspiracy theories that you think you just know? Are you kind and courteous with these people when they come to you with their little problems? Or you put them off? Well, if you're not kind, if you're not courteous, you're not loving. Plus, real love isn't jealous. This verse says, love envies not. Now, jealousy is a horrible thing. It really is. It's terrible. You know, you could picture jealousy as the green-eyed monster, you know? And if you really have love, you're going to be able to give credit where credit's due. And you're going to be able to praise others when you didn't think of it yourself, when you had no idea. You're going to be able to thank another for opening your eyes. And that happens only if you don't have jealousy. And you're not going to cringe when other people are praised. And then Paul goes on to say that this love is humble. You know, in the King James it says, not puffed up. Look in verse 4. So love and pride, they can't dwell in the same heart. So examine yourself to see if you're of the faith. Are you proud? Are you a proud person? Well, true love is humble. True love can say, I'm sorry, I was wrong, please forgive me. Can you do that? And then it does not behave itself unseemingly. In other words, true love isn't rude. If somebody contacts you and says, hey, I just really need your help with this. I don't understand this. Is this thing I saw on YouTube true? Is this thing true? And you blow them off? Isn't that being rude? You know, some people say, well, I just speak forthrightly. I know. I have the gift of prophecy, or I have this huge ministry to take care of. Don't ever, folks, don't ever allow you or yourself or anyone else to excuse their rudeness under the guise that they have some gift or some huge ministry to do. You know, he that speaks unto men via prophecy speaks unto men in how? Edification, exhortation, and comfort. There's no rudeness there, folks. Real love does not behave itself unseemingly. It's unselfish. It seeketh not its own, verse 5. So this Christmas, stop worrying about what you're going to get or what you got or what you didn't get from your mom or what your best friend didn't do. And start thinking about how you can show the love of the Lord Jesus Christ to others. You know, real love is even-tempered. It's not easily provoked, verse 5. So it doesn't have a hair trigger. There's this pastor, a pastor from bygone days, not real long ago, but a while back. His name was Pastor Drummond, and he wrote a sermon on 1 Corinthians 13. And the title of his sermon was The Greatest Thing in the World. And what was it about? It was all about love. Now, in that sermon, he said, I'm going to quote him, "No form of vice, no worldliness, not greed of gold, not drunkenness itself, does more to unchristianize society than an evil temper." So love is even-tempered. And then real love, it's not suspicious. It thinks no evil, verse 5. In other words, it doesn't think the worst about others. It's not paranoid and doesn't hide under a rock or in its house. And so many people are doing that today, folks. Have you ever met anybody that doesn't trust anybody? Very honestly and bluntly here, folks, that person doesn't know how to love. Now, so far, we've looked at this incredible value of love, especially during Christmas time, and this importance, the importance of the virtues of love and being manifest in the life of a disciple of Jesus Christ. And finally, let's wrap this up with the victory of love. In verse 8, Paul says, love never fails. Now, that's one of the greatest and most awe-inspiring statements of the Word of God. And I have that thing highlighted and underscored in fluorescent yellow in my Bible. And it's been like that all the way from back in the 80s. Love never fails. Love is eternal and will never pass away. In verses 8 and 9, Paul wrote, charity, and again, that's love, never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Did you hear that, folks? Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Wow. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part. And how do we prophesy in part? We prophesy in part. I didn't say it. Paul did. It's in black ink on white print right there. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 9. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. The point here is don't get puffed up about what you think you know. You don't know 1% of anything, folks. Don't think you know the future. All you've got is an educated guess. Even if you're into prophecies. Why? Because we prophesy in part. I didn't say it, God did. I have a friend who says, well, I know what the prophecies in the Bible says. Yeah? But there are many things about the future that have not been revealed to us, folks. Remember that. And the Bible says it doth not yet appear what we shall be like. Oh, folks, it's so important that we have love, this agape love at the core of our testimony. Think about it. Even a little child, a 3 or 4 year old babe, can ask questions about heaven that none of us can answer. I don't care what seminary you went to. I don't care where you teach and preach. I don't care what vision of heaven you had. I don't even care if you were taken bodily by Jesus into heaven. We know in part, and we prophesy in part. And honestly, folks, it's time we get some humble pie in us over this. We take a dose of humility. And some of the things we think we know so much about, yet in truth we know very little. There's one thing I do know, though, folks. Love lasts. Love's more important than education, more important than your ability, more important than money. Plus, it's more important than any way you're perceived or looked upon by others. And I'm telling you, it's certainly more important than prophecy. All these things, including prophecy, are going to pass away. So what my desire for the body of Christ is to be primarily known for the gospel we preach, which needs to be grounded in love. So there's a lot of wonderful things in the body of Christ, and we do need to be fitly joined. But we must be known for the gospel. And at the core of that gospel is love. L-O-V-E in Greek, A-G-A-P-E, agape. Love's the greatest virtue and the greatest commandment. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40. And I'm just going to kind of tell you what Jesus said. He said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is unto you, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law of the prophets." So no other authority other than Jesus Christ said that love is the greatest commandment. So what's the greatest sin if love is the greatest commandment? Well, failing to love is the greatest sin because you're breaking the greatest commandment. You know, the Apostle Paul says here in 1 Corinthians that love is the greatest virtue. But not only is it the greatest virtue, it's the greatest commandment. And that's because it's the greatest testimony. You think people are going to say, "Well, Jesus is wonderful because we have this great radio show and we have this really great coffee shop down in Export or whatever." You really think people are going to say that? No. No. They're going to say, "Those folks were so puffed up on themselves. They were know-it-alls. They were this. They were that." What they're going to remember you for is that love. And we've had people come into Sozo's and say, "You know why I keep coming back? Because I just feel this incredible love here." And that's what we need to do, whatever we do, whether it's a blog or a radio show or an email ministry. That love has to come through, folks. You know, the Bible says in John chapter 13, verse 35, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love one to another." That's the reason we must never divide over the details. That's the reason that we have to express this incredible love. We must constantly love. We must sacrificially love, like the two characters in The Gift of the Magi. Jim and Della, she cut her hair so she could get a chain for his gold watch. He sold his gold watch so he could get a beautiful comb for her hair. That's sacrificial love, folks. We've got to love that way. We've got to drown out every insult with a river of love. We have to live that love. Now, the truth is, there are a lot of people out there that aren't very lovely. Real love's not giving me what I deserve. Real love has given me what I need. And what do I need? I need that agape love. You need that agape love. We need to share that agape love. Real love saying, "I love you and do good regardless of what you do to me." And that's the greatest testimony of Jesus. And that's operating in the true spirit of prophecy. "By this all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." Jesus said it, folks, not me. But not only is it the greatest virtue and the greatest commandment and the greatest testimony, it is a great motivation, too, when you think about it. Well, so what motivates me? Why do I do these messages? Why do I get on with Johnny on Trib Now? Why do I do all these things? It's not to be some well-known guy. I don't even use my name. I go by Broken, Made Whole in Jesus Christ, on these SDG broadcasts. I don't want you to remember me. I don't want you to remember anything other than Christ and Christ crucified. That's what motivates me. I'm motivated, as Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." That's what he said. The love of Christ constraineth us. And I hope that's motivating you, too. You know, love's so amazing. So divine. It's incredible. It drives my soul, my life, my all. It's the love of Jesus Christ. You know, when Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Loveth me? Thou lovest me?" And then he said, "If you do, feed my sheep." You know, notice he didn't say, "Do you love my sheep?" He didn't say that. He didn't say, "Do you love to feed sheep?" No, he didn't say that. Jesus asked Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" So the greatest motivation for teaching that Sunday school class you may be teaching or coaching that little league team or for doing a radio blog talk show or me and everybody else doing Sozo's is our love for the Lord Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords. That should be our greatest motivation. That's what will move you and keep you moving when nothing else can, when you don't feel like going, when you don't feel like putting that headset on, when you don't feel like taking that call when somebody has to ask you something that you don't agree with. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. The Apostle Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth us. Plus, this true love is the greatest confirmation. It truly is. You know, do you want to know whether you're a child of God and whether you're saved and on your way to heaven? 1 John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15 read, we know that we have passed from death unto life. How? Because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know not that murderer hath and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Again, that's black print on white paper, folks. So how do we know that we've passed from death unto life? When we love the brethren. And we're not loving the brethren if we're impatient. We're not loving the brethren if we're rude. We're not loving the brethren if we cut them off when they're trying to share a point with us. We loveth not his brother. He who loveth not his brother abideth in death. And whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And yet no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Have you cut someone off in your life because you don't agree with something they're saying? Have you cut someone off in your life because you're afraid that the position they take on some topic is going to disparage you or cause you to lose standing in your community? If so, you're not abounding and abiding in love, folks. So I just want to say that in this Christmas season, the thing we all need to do more of than anything else is to do what God did when he sent Jesus to earth, and that is to spread this love around. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And I'm telling you, I'm going to tell you this story about this old Christian man who was dying in Scotland. And a friend came over to say goodbye to him before he died. And this old man said to his friend who came to say goodbye, well, I've just had three other visitors. Two of them have gone, but the third visitor I'm going to keep with me forever. And his friend asked, well, who were they? And this old dying man, and this is so powerful, folks, so just listen to what he said. He said, well, the first visitor came to see me, and that was Faith. And I visited with Faith for a while, and I enjoyed Faith, but I told Faith goodbye. I thank God for your company, Faith, and I've walked with you since I first trusted Christ. But now I'm going to die, and I don't need you anymore, because Faith will be lost in sight, and I'll see Jesus face to face. And then he said, I had another visitor come in, and his name was Hope. And I said, Hope, we had a wonderful time together. And then I said to Hope, farewell, Hope. You've helped me in my hour of need and my time of battle. You've been with me in distress when my heart was broken, when I've had so many needs. You've been with me like a rock, like an anchor. But Hope, I won't need you anymore. Goodbye, Hope. I'm going to heaven, where hope has turned to fruition and fullness. And then he said, the third visitor that came to see me is now with me and will be with me forever. And his name is Love. And I said to Love, Love, you've been my friend. You've linked me with God. You've linked me to my fellow man. You've comforted me in all my journeys. And now I'm going to heaven. But Love, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not leaving you behind. You and me, we're going to enter the city of God together through the gates of glory. And you, my friend, Love, will be perfected in heaven. Wow. Doesn't that sum it all up? Isn't that what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 12 through 13? For now we see through a glass, how? Darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even also as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. So let's love one another this Christmas season. Love is of God. And God's people all said, amen. Father, I pray that this Christmas season you help us all to see the love of Christ and to reflect the love of Christ and to know the love of Christ and allow it to flow to everyone we meet, even those that we find unlovable. And Lord, may we be so filled with your love that love spills out. Not selfishness, not rudeness, not impatience, not pride, not arrogance. Lord, may your love spill out teachings and our preachings and our giving and our sacrificing, and may it be infused with love, all that we do for you in the kingdom. We pray this in the holy name of Jesus. I love you all, folks. I truly do. And I just want to wrap this up with a classic Christmas song sung by Josh Groban, What Child Is This? I love y'all. Be back next week, provided the Lord's willing.
What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap? While shepherds watch our keeping. So bring him incense, gold and myrrh, come peasant king to own him. The King of Kings salvation bring, let love on man.